Welcome, everybody, and welcome all our Torah Anytime listeners. We speak about Parsha Shemini. And the question is do you want to know how to bring the Shechina in your life? To bring Hashem's presence, to grow, uplift yourself, and get higher. Because in this week's Parsha, Parsha Shemini, we find that we are finishing off the Mishkan, we're bringing the Shechina into the Mishkan. And if you look, you find something very interesting. It uses the words Vayihi in the beginning of the Parsha. The Gemara in Megillah says, Vayihi is a lashon tsar, pain, difficulty, challenge. And we know, similarly, the Gemara brings other instances where Vayihi is really simcha. If you look at the Medrash over here, it says that Vayihi, there was no greater joy, bamaraim, like this joy in heaven, than the Kamasa Mishkan, because it has this kashrus, a connection to Vayihi by the creation of the world. So you have the Vayihi by the creation of the world, and you have the Vayihi by the Mishkan. So Hashem is extremely excited, happy, and uplifted, Kaviyachol, just like He is with the creation of the world. But on the other hand, the Gemara in Megillah says that since today is the day that Nadav and Avihu died, we find that it's a day of Tzar. So what are we supposed to be when we're reading this, and what were they supposed to be feeling? Tzar, pain because of death and of view, or simcha? Which one is it? What's this duality, the dichotomy, the challenge over here, the contradiction between these two feelings? How are we supposed to process it? What does it mean? How does it fit into the context of what's going on? You go on in the parsha, you have the 7 days of Miluyim. Moshe Rabbeinu, he deconstructed and then reconstructed the Mishkan and brought Karbanos every one of those days. Continuing on, he hands over to Aaron, he passes the torch, and Aaron has to bring a few different karbanos. Read the psukim. It says, "V'hi b'yayim hashmini kara Moshe la'aron." Kara is that lashon of kriya, like we find in lashon chiba, which was the greatest thing that Moshe Rabbeinu had in Bayikra. So the question is, why is that being brought here? So Asamas and others deal with that. La'aron levan of zikne Yisrael. V'yayimer al Aaron. He says to Aaron, "Kach l'cha egel ben bakar l'chatos." Take an egel for a chatas, the ayel lo oila tamima, the hakri of Hashem, and an ayel for an oila, and bring it to Hashem. And then he says, ve'el b'nei Yisrael, before b'nei Yisrael, tidaber le'emor kichu se'ir is in the chatas. So you find that Aaron's chatas is a ayel. I'm sorry, is an egel. Kala Yisrael's chatas is an ayel. And then it continues on, ve'el v'kevesh b'nei shana tamima, La'oila. And the Klai Yisrael, they bring an egel and a keves for an oila. So why is Aaron's chatas a calf and Klai Yisrael's chatas is a seir? And their oila then becomes an egel. What's all these different switches of the karbanos? So if you look at the Targum Yonasan, Targum Yonasan says, and this is before in the Midrashim, that Aaron, his chatas, was for the Egel Azav. That's what he was coming to create a kapara for. Klal Yisrael's chatas was for the Mechiras Yosef. That's why they brought the animal that they shechted by Mechiras Yosef. Yeah, it's very interesting. And in addition, their oila was an egel, because the oila was for the Egel Azav. So Aaron's chatas for the Egel Azav, and their oilas for the Egel Azav. Their chatas Mechiras Yosef. So this opens up the Pandora's box of questions. What is going on over here? What's the connection between the Mechiras Yosef and the Egel Azav? That they bring the chatas for the Mechiras Yosef, and then they bring the oila for the Egel Azav. Why does Aaron bring the chatas for the Egel Azav, and they bring the oila for the Egel Azav? What's the difference between Aaron and them? So this is addressed in the Kleyakar and others. And just in the first Nakuda, that the difference between them is Aaron, in his Egel Aveira, was doing only an action, a chatas for an action. But Klal Yisrael had certain bad machshavas. So that's a technical answer. And Mechiras Yosef, that for sure was bad machshavas with action. So that's why their chatas is on the Mechiras Yosef. So you can fix the technicalities of why Aaron brought the chatas, and they brought the oil for the ego. But the real question is what's the connection between the Egel Azav and the Mechiras Yosef? What's the connection between those two things? And if you look further in the story of the Mechiras Yosef and the Egel, they're very intertwined. who got pulled out of the wall in Mitzrayim? Moshe Rabbeinu pulled out a little baby, Micha. Later we find, by the story of the Igal Azov, that Micha went and took the Tavnit, it was some kind of, I don't know exactly how to describe it, like a plaque with the words Alishor on them, that was used to raise and bring the Atzmas Yosef out of Mitzrayim. And Micha took that same plaque, threw it in the fire by the Igal, and then came out the Igal Azov. So we find that Yosef is really connected to Igal Azov. But what does Yosef have to do with Egel Azov? What's the connection between these two things? How is the Koyach of Yosef intertwined over here? So we find over here in the Karbanos, we find in the story itself, Minei Obey, and specifically the person that Moshe Rabbeinu pulled out of the wall, what is going on here with all these connections? And really, what we really have to understand is, even if we figure that out, what does that have to do with right now? They already got Hashem Hashem. They got the Yud Gimel Yisrachimim. They finished with the story of Yosef so long ago. Now when they come to the Kamas HaMishkan, now when it's coming to the Shekhinah being Shoyre, now is when you find the Eagle Hazav and Mechir Yosef coming to play? My high, well, how is this relevant? You go further, the Eagle doesn't stop. Aaron HaKohen comes, and he comes to be Makriv, to serve the Karbanos. And he sees the Mizbeach, and there's different Mefarshim, whether it was Nidmet to him, or whether the Satan came and brought it, and he sees the Egel Azov again. And he gets scared. He gets embarrassed. He pulls back, and Moshe says, Hakri, if you could come closer, Kariv. And he says, Lama Atabosh, why are you embarrassed? Like, Kach Nifcharta, because this you were chosen. Then Aaron gets the strength, and he goes and serves. It's quite puzzling as to what is that. How does that play in again? He just did that's what he's doing. He's being mechaper for the Egel Azov. What's his fear that all of a sudden comes up? And what's Moshe Rabbeinu's tshuva to him? Lama, why are you embarrassed? L'kach nifcharta. Some explain, Lama ata boish. Since you were boish, therefore you were chosen. Because you were embarrassed of your sin, now you're chosen. Which is brought down from the Arizal and the Sfasemis and others, but it doesn't really fit so well into the lashon of Lama Ataboish, it would be Machmas Ataboish, because you were Boish. What's Lama Ataboish? Lekach Nebcharta. So the mashmos, the implications, what seems to be screaming out at us is because you did the ego, therefore you were chosen. How does that, how could we understand such a thing? And then after what happened was, Klal Yisrael, they come. They come to the point where all the karbanos are meant to be served and be burned up. And we find something that's missing. The Shekhinah. The Eish Tu Gadboi. No fire comes. It's a very distressing thing. What happened? What was missing? Why didn't it come? Then Moshe Rabbeinu went and davened, and it came. But what was Hashem wanting from them that didn't come at that point? And that's the whole entire story of the Mishkan. And that directly ties into Nadav Avihu, as we mentioned before. The Vayihi is a simcha of the Mishkan, but a sadness of the death of Nadav Avihu. What is the connection between Nadav and Avihu and the Mishkan? We find that later, the Vayidam Aaron is told about his son's death, and Moshe Rabbeinu consoles him by telling him that part of the covet of the Beis HaMikdash came through your son's death. So we see that it's so intertwined, of the Mishkan, of what's going on, of Aaron's Avodah, that he gets a specific hoira'os, his specific directions, instructions, sivoy from Hashem, that he should not drink wine. That was specifically to him because of his vayidim, because of his chus. So Nadav Avihu is so intertwined here into the story of the Mishkan. And the question is what do they have to do with it? How does their sin relate to what happened in this whole story? There were 12 accounts of their sin, in fact. And the Mefarshim all ask, how does that do with the word that they brought an Esh Zara, they brought a foreign fire? So we have roughly 8, 9, 10 questions, depending on how you count it. We're going to try and say one sweeping idea to try and answer for everything. And it starts with a story of the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim wrote 20-some-odd svarim not to show his godless. He wrote those svarim in order to show the greatness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, as in, he saw an ultimate kisui. He saw Klal Yisrael faltering, failing, going down. And he said, I need to raise them up. So he wrote sefer after sefer, book after book, line after line, limud after limud, in order to lift up Klal Yisrael. The sefer Avas Chesed, the Chofetz Chaim writes, which is complex halachas, laws, and dictations about how to deal with monetary matters, he writes that to teach you how to be a better Jew in the realm of chesed. He writes explicitly in Avos Chesed that the whole purpose of all the halachas was because if he wants to teach Yidden how to mechazik in chesed, he needs to teach them technicalities. But that means he wrote complex laws of ribbis, of loaning money, of various different things, of paying workers, tzedakah, just to teach Yidden how to do chesed, how to care. His whole life was dedicated to this. And there's one specific coining story that sticks out in my mind, that the Chofetz Chaim saw soldiers, he was in his 80s, in the Russian army, and he wrote books, Machane Yisrael, on this, who didn't have food, didn't have kosher food. And he said, I need to make a Karen in order to finance them so we can send them kosher meals in the army. He traveled to Rav Chaim Eiser, and everyone was encouraging him, don't go, you're in your 80s, you can't do this, we're in Russia. It is not a simple matter for anyone, especially an 80-year-old man, to travel all the way to Rav Chaim Eiser to get help and funds with this issue. Chofetz Chaim did not listen to them, and he went. He went to Rav Chaim Eiser. Chaim Eiser, of course, okay, Chofetz Chaim comes in, gives him his full attention, clears everything, and he tells him about the issue. He presses how important it is that we have to help these soldiers. Chaim Eiser says, listen, I have so many needs at the forefront. So many pressing matters. I'm sorry, this isn't something I can deal with. Chofetz Chaim says, listen, when I die after 120 years, I'm going to go up to heaven. They're going to ask me, Yisrael Meir, did you care about the Yidden who didn't have kosher food in the army? Did you care about those who couldn't eat with Kedusha and Tahara? And I'm going to say, I was an 80-year-old man. I was frail. I was weak. All my energies were spent helping Klal Yisrael. But I said, I have to help them. And I went to the Gadol Hador. I went to Rav Chaim Eiser, and I did my efforts. And he said something to the effect of, and what will you say? Chaim Eiser took the lesson, and he cleared the town schedule. He brought everyone in and made a meeting and raised the funds for this unbelievable event and unbelievable service to the Jewish people. What was the Chofetz Chaim doing? Why did he do this? It was so that he could have grandeur. It was so that he could get respect. He had more respect than we could ever imagine. He was the quintessential example of someone who ran away from honor and received it in every single sense. What did he get out of this? He got nothing for himself. He was purely a kli, a vessel, a tzin or a pipe, to bring schusim down to downtrodden Yidden. This was his whole entire essence, his reality, his whole entire vision of life was how can I affect other Jews? How can I save them? How can I help them? There's a fire out there and I have to put it out. I have to stop the veirs and I have to bring in the mitzvahs. He traveled when 80 years old. There was no kaychas of a human being. He was using heavenly kaychas. This is about the avos, that they were makavah l'shechina. That's what gave them their life force. What is a Kayin? What was Aaron a Kayin? The Meshech Chachma explains in Parshat Tzav that Aaron a Kayin, when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when you would think he's in the highest place, in the highest time, what does he think about? Most of us would think, I have to get in a few tefillos for myself. I have to daven for my family, my kids. What did Aaron a Kayin, what was he doing? The Meshech Chachma says he went in for one purpose. To show that the Nishmas Yisrael, that the soul of the Jewish person, is plugged in like a mikvah to fresh water to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that brings the ultimate kapara, the ultimate atonement, the ultimate connection for the Jewish person. That's why Aaron went to Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was the pinnacle of his avodah. And it was a revealing that every avodah that he had was for that purpose, was to help the Jewish nation. What is a Kayin? A Kayin is someone who is not for himself and is only for others. This is what a Kayin is. This is what Aaron a Kayin was. And this is what the Chofetz Chaim, the Gadol Dor, this is who he was. When you come to this week's Parsha, you have to ask yourself what's going on. What was the sin? What was the Aveira of Mechiras Yosef? The Aveira of Mechiras Yosef was one thing. A lack of Achtus, Machloikes, Sinas Chinam. It was that they looked at each other And they didn't appreciate enough the reality of we're one. You're my brother. We're one soul. This is what the whole entire chait, the whole entire sin, which destroyed Klal Yisrael, put us in galus for hundreds of years, was a lack of unity. Yosef to his brothers. Yosef was not able to view his brothers properly. He should have been on the kavshus. He should have tried to help them in a different way. Instead, he ran to his father. And the brothers to Yosef, they misjudged him. When the brothers go down to Mitzrayim, what happens? Yosef sees them. And he puts them in tsar. Why does he put them in so much tsar? Why does he give them the ringer? Why does he put his father in tsar? The Shem Yishmuel explains that Yosef put his father in tsar. Yosef put the brothers in tsar because he needed them to get to a place of self-tshuva. The Shem Yishmuel's Mendayek, that it says he was not able to, he couldn't hold himself. Mashma, mavur, clear. If he would have been able to hold himself, if he would have been able to last longer, he would have done it. Only because he couldn't emotionally hold himself, he broke. Explains Shem Yishmuel, because he was doing tikkunim. He was putting him to the ringer to try and get away all the galus, to get away all the challenge, all the problems. Because what was the problem? A break in the achdus. And he felt Yehuda wasn't there yet. The brothers weren't there yet. And he felt, if I bring them now, through the suffering, through the challenge, to a self-recognition, we're going to have the ultimate achdus. And we won't need Mitzrayim. So what was the sin that was never wrapped up? Yosef, on his part, saw the brothers for who they were. And saw how much he cared and wanted to help them. Which what he did is, with Farnes them, he set everything up for them. He saw that he needed to be one with them. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. Like one unit. But the brothers never got that full tikkun. When they left Mitzrayim, this was the goal. This was the purification. To root out all little bits of sinna. And this is what the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, that they needed to have a Kabbalah, a Krisas Bris of chesed, of kindness, because that means they're one. This was the whole Mahalach of Mitzrayim, to create a recognition of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and an Achdus between the Jews. What happened at the Kabbalah Satorah? They said, Na'aseh v'nishma, says the Beis HaLevi. Why didn't they say, Esa, I will do v'eshman, I will hear? It's because Na'aseh v'nishma meant, I'm going to do the mitzvahs, and I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to care. I'm going to put myself with my brother. I'm going to look when he's having a hard time, when he's falling, when he's in darkness, when he's in Averis, and I'm going to learn how to pick him up. That was Na'aseh v'nishma. That was the greatness of Kabbalah Satayr, that we became Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, that I'm responsible for you. I'm not coming to miss you. I'm coming to care about you. I'm going to pick you up. I'm coming to look out for you. Create a true oneness. Says the Beis HaLevi, what happened at the Chet HaEgel? Came in the Erev Rav. Came in the evildoers. And they made a pirud, they made a separation, they made a distance between the Jews who were just one. And he says, from Medayik, in the language of what happened over here, in the Chet HaEgel, it says that, Ela Elokecha Yisrael, this is your God of Israel. Why didn't it say Elokeinu Yisrael? It should have used a pluralistic language. But instead, it says, this is your God, as in everyone who was involved to the various levels in the Egel Hazav. We're saying internally, okay, I'm doing this. We need the leader. We need someone to take us through. But let him create that leader. Let him create the God. Put it on your friend. Says the Beis HaLevi, that was the whole entire chait, was really that they broke the achdus. They would have taken the responsibility. They would have looked and said, my friend is doing it for Azara. I have a little belief in Nikva. I have to save him. He can't do it. But instead, they let go of their friend. They said, you create the Avodah Zarah. Ela Lekecha Yisrael. This is your God, not my God. You're creating the Egel Azav. It'll lead us through the desert. It's good. You get it done. You do the Avodah Zarah. You know, you do the Avera. I don't want to do it. It's like, you know, someone wants to watch TV on Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom. They say, you turn on TV. And then you sit and watch. No, we don't do that. You can't have someone doing the Avera for you, Chas V'Shalom. We're one. We care about each other. This is a person's life. Kiyem chayinu v'erich ameinu, the Torah, the mitzvahs, the chibur, the connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu is our life. And we have to always give note and wait to that. So where was the break of Yosef and the brothers? Yosef got to a place of true achdus. The brothers never reached it. You find that when Yaakov Inu died, the brothers start saying, oh no, Yosef is going to get us. Yosef says, Chas v'shalom, I would never do that. I'm with you. But they couldn't accept that. They didn't have it. Mitzrayim seemed to have fixed that. And the ego brought it back. The ego, after the ki'ishachar b'leivachad, brought back the pirud. Who brought it back? The Midrash says that Micha. Micha brought it back. Micha and the Erivrat brought it back. Because they were the ones who did not take part in the Shibud and Sarai. That's the Eir Rav. They were a different nation. And Micha was in the wall. He missed part of the story. He wasn't fully a part of the Shibud like everyone else. And therefore, he was desensitized. He did not have the full tikkun of Mitzrayim, which was bringing Klal Yisrael to an achdus. What did he do? What does Yosef have to do with this? He takes the koyach of Yosef, the Ali Shor, and he throws it in the fire. It's burned. It's destroyed. It's eradicated. That is the distance, what happened over here. That was the chait of the eagles of, a chait of pirud levavos, the antithesis to what Klal Yisrael is, the antithesis to what allows us to accept the Torah, ki'ishachar b'leivachad. It means they didn't care about each other anymore. That's what the Beis HaLevi says. You take this principle, and that is exactly tied in to what the Mishkan is. Like we said, Aaron, his whole job as a kohen was to connect the people to Hashem. That's what Aaron's job as a Kohen was. And therefore, when we came in to the Mishkan, we needed to have a unity. The Alshach says, the whole Machzor Shekel, many Sfarim say this, which was the donations for the Mishkan, was the start, was to connect us to the other Jews. You're only a half, because you're only complete with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Sfasema says that many say that. Then you go to the creation of the Mishkan, Vayikhuli Truma, Selzevil Megayin Sheashirin, Vayikhuli Truma, was that everyone should come together with one heart, with one mindset, with one goal, that we are together creating one place for Hashem to rest. That we're Ba'achtus, says the Vil Megayin. And the Vil Megayin says, when we're Ba'achtus, then the Shechina could be Sheira in the Mishkan and inside all of us. This was the Tachlus of the Mishkan, to bring us together from the Machzor Shekel to everyone donating for themselves. It was all to bring us to a unity, because that allows the Shechina to be shared, says the Vilna Gaon, says the Meshech Chachma Parshas B'Shalach. So this is what was going on over here. They were creating unity. So when we create a unity, a place for the Shechina to rest, what do you have to do? You have to eradicate the Mechiras Yosef. You have to eradicate that sin. You have to eradicate the hemshech of that sin, which was the chayit egel azav. This was all connected. This is clear in the Mefarshim, Beis HaLevi. The Klal Yisrael says something similar over here to this. This is the idea. This is the reality. This is the truth. That if we want Hashem in our lives, we don't have to look so far. We just have to connect to the other Jews around us. Nadav and Avihu. What was going on over there? Nadav and Avihu had an unbelievable tshuka, unbelievable burning desire to raise themselves up to the highest heights. They were so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They saw the opportunity for the Mishkan. They said, how can we miss it? How can we not go and serve? Why did they die? He said 12 reasons brought in Chazal. The first one brought is by Matan Torah. The Meshech Chachma explains that Moshe and Aaron were purely tzinoirim, were pipes for Hashem to connect to Jewish people. They did not do it for themselves. Ki hu zeh. He says, Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu were not like Moshe and Aaron. They had a certain sense of self. When they saw God by Matan Torah, they were sameach because their personal connection. But it wasn't the overarching and overwhelming Klal Yisrael connection. That explains the Meshech Chochma was their sin. That they felt their personal connection. While of course, we all have to have the personal connection, the feeling, the relationship with Hashem. It can never be cut off from Klal Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon says when a person davens, which is the most fiery, passionate connection we have to Hashem, that we can never disassociate other Jews in our Tefillah Shemoneh Esrei. Vilna Gaon says that if a person only davens for himself in the tefillah Shmoneh Esrei, he is not yoytze that bracha. Because that's not tefillah. That's not chibur to Hashem. We need to feel the personal fire, but it needs to be there to warm the other yid. We always need to have in mind that our mind is one with the Jews, is one with your brothers. And that's what allows the Shekhinah, Hashem's presence, the godliness to be in your life. You want godliness in your life? You want the Shekhinah in your life? You have to learn that you're one with other Jews. You have to break down those barriers. Nadav and Avihu felt a certain sense of self, says the Meshech Chachma. That was their issue. They had a tshuka, an unbelievable burning desire to connect to Hashem. It started at the Matan Torah, where they felt their own personal connection to a certain extent. And then over here, what's the job of a Kohen? The job of a Kohen is to be one with the people, not to be for himself. Nadav and Avihu had a burning self-desire to connect. It was ever so slight, but ever so present. And therefore, they were told, you can't be Kohen. What destroyed them? Which fire burnt them up? It wasn't Stam a fire. It was the fire of the Kodesh Kedushin. The fire, the heavenly fire, which in the Mishkan, in the Bayis Rishon, was a crouching lion. That's what came and destroyed them. So their chait was something you can't understand. Because which fire came and destroyed them? The most heavenly fire, which burns karbonus. This is what destroyed them. And their body stayed. Hashem was saying, you just can't be a kain. A kain has to be complete, is batlus. When they came and they were meir halacha, bifnei rabbi, which is one of the chataim, says they were chayav misa for. Because they said the halacha that a hedyut has to bring in the fire to the Mishkan, despite there being a heavenly fire which eats the karbanos, that we have to create the fire despite Hashem coming and bringing down the fire. That was the halacha. What were they being meir halacha on? This fire, which was the fire of the neshama, says the Baal Shem Tov. What's the problem of being meir halacha b'nei rabbi? The problem of being meir halacha b'nei rabbi, explains Ravadinsky, is that a person feels a certain sense of self. Shmuel Hanavi was meir halacha b'nei Eli. Eli said, that's it, we have to kill him. Chana says, no, Eli, don't do it. Eli says, I'll daven for you, Chana. You'll get another child. Chana says back, Anar Zez Balalti, I davened for this nar. Eli says back, oh, you davened for this nar? Okay, he's not Chayv Misa. What's going on? If he was Shmuel's Chayv Misa, he was Chayv Misa. If he was not Chayv Misa, he was not Chayv Misa. What's Chana's Taina help? Anar Zez Balalti, I davened for this child. Explains to Bredinsky that the reason Shmuel was not Chayv Misa was because he had no gaiva at all in his hira, in his teaching of the halacha in front of his Rebbe. It was from no sense of gaiva. It was all for kavod shemayim. That's what Chana said, Anar Zel Spalalti, I davened for a child who was purely l'shem shemayim, who was purely heavenly intentioned at all times. This was Shmuel HaNavi, one of the greatest Nevi'im who ever lived. And that's when Eli accepted her taina. That's when Eli accepted that she was saying something of weight, and he was not, in fact, Chayv Misa, because he had no relevance to that reality of sense of self. But Nadav and Avihu, we see all the way back from their original sin, through all different things, Shasso Yayin, it's all a certain sense of self. They didn't wear the proper Bitei Kehuna. The Bitei Kehuna are mechapel for Klal Yisrael's sins. But they were going in for their own chibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which again is something that's unbelievable, something which is beyond us, something which we wish we had, a burning passion. But where was their mistake? What brought them down? Was they couldn't be Kohanim like that. They couldn't serve Hashem for us if they were for themselves. What caused Aaron to have a nechama from their death? Moshe Rabbeinu tells him that you have sons who were mechaved the Beis HaMikdash. I understand why how did it create a covenant in the Beis HaMikdash? It created a covenant because it taught us that we have to have the burning passion. We have to have the fire to connect, just like Nadav and Avihu did. We can never, ever let go of the relationship. But that is a sad thing, it had to come through Nadav and Avihu dying. that lesson. That's why it's a sadness and a happiness. Vayehi, 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 the Gemara says it's sad because it's the day not an of you died. Vayehi, vayehi is the greatest day because Shemayim Va'aretz were created. What's the purpose of Shemayim Va'aretz? For Klal Yisrael. That is the purpose, is the Midrash, of the entire creation of the world. That we have a Klal Yisrael that serves Hashem as a whole. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. This is the lesson in our lives. That the purpose of being a Yid is to have a chrayis for another. To care for one another. To connect genuinely with one another. And this was, again, the mistake of the other Naviyu. And this was the whole purpose of the Mishkan. To create a oneness. That's what we needed, kapara. An atonement for the sins of Bechiras Yosef, ultimate period. And an atonement for the Eagles of, which was period as well. Then you come to Aaron. He sees, comes to serve the Karbanos. Moshe says, lekach nevcharta. For this, you were chosen. And then Aaron went and served. What did Aaron see? What did he get scared about? He got scared that he had a certain sense of pirud from other Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, when you did the Egel Azov, it was purely for Kavod Shemayim. As the Sifsei Kohen explains, Lekach Nivcharta, because of this, you were chosen, because you decided that Klal Yisrael wouldn't last if they would have done the Chet in the way they did, and therefore you needed to create the Egel, a form for them to actually serve. And then look at the Sifsei Kohen inside. He explains that it created a Kavod Shemayim, because if Hashem would have destroyed the Jewish people without making the Egel, just for their thoughts of Avodah Zarah, for their thoughts of Pirud, the world would have looked and said, why is God destroying these people? What's going on? This is a bad God. Chas v'shalom. It would have been Achil Hashem. Aaron said, if they don't have some idol that they're going to deal with, there'll be no justification to the world as to what happened. And therefore, since Sifsei Kohen, that Aaron's action was 100% purely intentional. That Klal Yisrael should have a certain thing to be toila. The world has something to be toila as to why the people of the eagle died. And God is still good. God is great. God is holy. So what was Aaron's action? Lekach nevcharta. It was an action which was above and beyond normal cheshbonos. We similarly find by Yehudis, Yael, that they did, Esther, that they did an aver lishma, which was mutter for atalas harabim, because they saved Klal Yisrael. Esther went into Achashverosh, which was normally Agba Yavor, and here she chose to do it because it was saving Klal Yisrael. Satesis. So when someone is saving Klal Yisrael on the greatest level, we find there was a situation where it was not only permitted but necessary to perform normally, which is Yagva Yavor. Aaron said, I must create this Avodah Zarah for them or assist them in it. So there won't be the ultimate Chilul Hashem and the ultimate destruction of Klal Yisrael. It will be the downfall. Lekach nevcharta. If you're someone who is so much not for yourself, says Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not for you. You're only for the people. That was the pure intentions of your actions. For this you were chosen. You're seeing the eagle when you get to the Mizbeach. Not as a kitrug, rather as a sign to you that you have reached the pinnacle. That your actions then and now are purely aligned with the unity in Klal Yisrael. You finish the end, the Mishkan, everything set up, and no heavenly fire comes down. Nothing. What does Aaron do? Explain to Radinsky, the normal human reaction is to blame someone else. Aaron should have said it. Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael isn't good enough. What's going on? That's why there's no fire here. There's no heavenly fire coming to burn up the Karbanos. And Klal Yisrael should have said, Moshe Aaron, he's not serving you, Moshe. You look at the Midrashim, look at Rashi. What did Klal Yisrael do? Klal Yisrael blamed themselves. Aaron HaKohen blamed himself. When do I blame someone else? When I'm disconnected from him. I can say you, not me. When we're all one. And I love you and I care about you. And you're amazing. I don't blame you. I look internally. They achieved the ultimate level of Achdus. So of course, there was no blaming. Hashem was putting them to that test. Before he was going to let the heavenly fire come down, he needed to see Klal Yisrael holding at a place where there was no blame, there was no negativity, there was no distance. There was just unity. And if there's a problem, I have to fix me. I don't fix you. And any marriage, any relationship, any friendship, the ultimate level is that when something happens, a challenge, a difficulty, I look internally and I say, what's going on with me? How can I be better? How can I be more of a giver? How can I stop those difficult things that I'm doing? As soon as I start blaming someone else, you, I'm not looking at me. And if I'm not looking at me, then there's no we. If I'm looking at your faults and not my faults, we can't be together. Hashem said, I can't be together with you if you would be blaming. Once you stop the blaming, I can come. That was Hashem's ultimate test, explains Rudinsky, before the Shekhinah came down. And this is why Nadav and Avihu gave a halacha, gave a psak on the fire, the heavenly fire. That's where they made a mistake. That heavenly fire represents an Ari, a Yehuda. Yehuda was the lion. Because every Yehuda, every Yehudi represents someone who looks inside themselves, explains Sfas Emes. Shem Yishmuel, every Yehudi is someone who looks inside themselves. Every Yehudi is someone who's looking internally, not externally. This is what a Yehudi is. This is what that heavenly fire was. The heavenly fire was a fire, which was purely the Jewish soul. They made a mistake. They thought that fire was not the Jewish soul as a whole. They thought it could be personal. This was the Esh Zara that they brought. The foreign fire which they brought was because it was a fire that was disconnected from the rest of Klal Yisrael. And the truth is that heavenly fire which came down, which burned on the Mizbeach, was representing the Jewish soul. And the Jewish soul always looks internally and sees how a Jewish soul is fundamentally connected to every other Jewish soul. Knesset Yisrael as a whole is the Jewish soul. This is where they made a mistake in the halacha. This is where another of you made a disconnect. They had a certain sense of self. We are completely one. That is the heavenly fire which comes down and brings the karbanos up. This is what we eradicated before we had the Mishkan, because the Mishkan, Hashem's presence, Hashem's holiness, does not rest among us unless we have oneness. So what does that mean, oneness in our lives? Oneness with other Jews. It's very nice to say. But why would Jacobson, I was told this recently, says that if you speak to Jews, they say, we need to be one in Am Yisrael and love, and we love each other. And then when you say, what about your neighbor? Oh, my neighbor? Oh, no. Yeah, he has this problem, that problem, that problem. And what about the guy you work with, Ari? Ari? No. I love all Jews, but Ari, but yeah. We make all the exceptions. We make all of the distances. What about that community? Whether it's Ashkenazi, Sephardi, Chassid. Oh, then they have no heart. And then they daven too quickly. And then they daven too slowly. And you make all the differences that distance you. He said, if you ask the guy about the Jews. The guy will say, the Jews, they're horrible, they're the worst. You say, but what about your lawyer? Oh, Goldman, my lawyer Goldman. He's different. He's a cut above. And he says, well, and what about your doctor? Oh, my doctor? He's a Jew, but he's mamish. He's like, he's the best guy. Roberts, he's the best. And you'll go through all the different various Jews he interacts with. They're all amazing. So the guy hates us as a whole, but loves us as an individual. We love the Jews as a whole, but we have negativities as individuals. And the goal is, we see in this week's Parsha, be mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. Be a nation of priests in a holy nation. Kings of priests. Mamleches koyhanim. We're mamlech ourselves. Create a kingship of being a priest. Every single Jew is a holy servant of God. And what does that mean? That means you do things in the format where you connect to other Jews. And you look at other Jewish communities. And we have to be practical. Could we just say, I love all Jews, and then say, yeah, but my neighbor, but this guy. We have to actually look at a group of Jews or an individual, and see something that bothers us about it, something that's challenging, and say, you know what? I can let go of that. I can let go of that. He is my brother. He is my family. He is one with me. And since he's one with me, I can be one with him. And that means there's something that's not so good about him, just like with ourselves. How many justifications do we create? How many times do we say, well, yeah, I do that thing, but really, this is the reason why, and I understand it. So understand it about someone else. If you feel certain negativity to a certain community, to a certain person, to a certain group, starting with each one, each place, say, I get him. I get why he does that. And we could all find the justifications. Just like you do it with you, do it with the enemy. Don't have differences which create distance. And I mean this in the most practical sense. It's so easy. And it's so common to just talk about Av Yisrael and then not like other people. What's hard, but really easy if you try, if you put some time into it, is just finding a justification why someone's like something, then you understand them. When you understand somebody, they're not so bad. So understand other Yidden. They're all one with you. Tear down your walls, your layers, your distances. Bring a kirva. So you can do it by finding justification. You can do it by when you look at a certain community. Yeah, okay, maybe there you find, okay, their Yiddishkeit's colder. But look at their level of Avas HaTorah. Look at their level of Lima Torah. Look at the Talmid HaChacham that come out of there. That's one thing. So a different community is less focused on Torah. Look at their Chasadim. Look at something special about them. Find in each community something special. And if you find that maybe you think, and this happens in different communities, they're destroying something in Yiddishkeit. And how can I feel positive towards them? How can I justify them? How can I understand them? They're destroying Hashem's light in this world. They're bringing darkness. They're hurting Yidden. And that's a real big challenge. And if you're dealing with the one that's the head of it, I personally don't know what to say. But if you're dealing with an individual who's part of that group, and he's swept up along with it, and he never really realized what's going on, he doesn't realize the consequence of his action, say Rachmanis. If you see another Jew who you feel isn't doing something the right way, and it's genuinely against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, just like if someone had an illness, you say, Rachmanis, he's like that. If he knew how bad this was for him, if he knew how much kud there was out there, how much kedusha, how much holiness, he would change. He just doesn't have an appreciation, Rachmanis. Sad. It's so sad. Let me have empathy for him. Let me feel him. Let me be with him. This is the attitude we have to have. So Be'ez Hashem, we have to work on this inyan of respecting other Jews, of understanding other Jews, of appreciating other Jews, of closing our gaps, tearing away the distance. Be'ez Hashem, we should be zeicha to all actually feel a little bit of kirva. Live the lessons of the Mishkan, which dictates we must have unity. Live the lessons of the Navi to not feel a certain sense of self. We need to have the burning passion. That was Mechabed the Beis HaMikdash. We had to come through their death. We had to learn this passion. But it can't be disconnected from the essence of the Mishkan, which is to create a unity. Everyone should have an amazing day.